said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we are also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed, but I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of the fathers, if your son asks for a fish, and will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Heavenly Father, as we come, and as we read your word, and as we again come to see, Father, and hear the teachings that you've given to us, may our minds be willing to learn. May our hearts be willing just to be receiving what you're about to share with us this morning. May your truth come, Lord, in your power, in your might. May we just again receive it openly and allow it to transform us and move us, Lord, in our relationship with you. May you guide me this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 11, verses 1 to 2. One day Jesus praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. One of my first connections with prayer is when I watched the movie Gandhi in school. And I came to understand something unique and something different about prayer. I thought it had to be starving yourself. I thought it had to be for many, many hours for it to actually mean anything, for it actually to make a difference, for to whoever you were praying to have any sort of mighty power. Because when I saw the movie Gandhi, I yet did not know who God was. I did not have a relationship with God. As kind of life journeyed on, as I attended school, as I began the church, I learned that every faith has some form of prayer. The Muslim faith, they stop whatever they're doing 5 times a day. And you will hear them wailing cries of prayer in many Asian cities. The Incas and Aztecs, they went so far to sacrifice humans in their prayer time to be able to attract their gods' attention so that they would hear their prayers. There's millions of people that attend AA meetings, and there, again, that was started by Christians. But then kind of moved into being a little more secular, and they prayed to a higher power for the strength, for the ability to get past their addictions. I found a statistic that said that there's more people that will pray in a day that will actually get get in the car and drive. We're going to be taking some time walking through a series called Teach Us to Pray from the Lord's Prayer. And the scripture's address of the Lord's Prayer that I'm walking through, and for particular reasons, again, we'll be referencing also to Matthew's 6 of the Lord's Prayer as well. But the Lord's Prayer is designed to help focus, which the disciples were asking, focus our priorities. Help us to kind of reverse our thinking and have us have attention on God Himself. The words of this prayer I have found to be quite amazing, quite phenomenal, even to the point that it's a work of art. This prayer can be so simple, so plain, but also so majestic, to the point that you could be at a hockey game. You could go to the Calgary Flames NHL hockey game. They could stop the game, and they could begin to recite this prayer, and thousands of people, even if they haven't been in church for years, would be able to begin to stop and share and speak this prayer. The words of this prayer have serenity, tranquility. They are unequal to anything. These words hold power when spoken. The prayer is short and simple and very easy to be learned. For many, many years, my Auntie Martha, who was a missionary with Sunday school missionary organization worldwide. But she was a missionary for this Sunday school missionary organization over in Ireland for 27 years. And she had started out doing it here in Alberta. And there, specifically, they taught the kids the Lord's Prayer. And for many years, they would say the Lord's Prayer in school. The only schools today, occasionally in Christian schools, but in the Catholic schools, they say the Lord's Prayer. But in public schools, no longer. When we come to each of the ending of our services over the next few weeks, as I teach through the Lord's Prayer, we're going to be ending off reciting the Lord's Prayer, but using the Matthew version. As I came to reading and focusing in on this series, I found that if anyone is serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ, they will want to grow in their prayer life. One of the quickest ways to really help us check and see the health of our spiritual life is to ask this question: how's our prayer life? How are we doing? As we go through this series and focusing in on the Lord's Prayer, I want us to be thinking about and accomplishing two things. I want us to help us develop a more powerful prayer life by offering us, in a sense, a way of tuning ourselves into connecting and praying with God. Are our prayers the right pitch, in a sense? I also want to encourage us by showing us that God hears our prayers. So many times we hesitate to even think about praying or even continue to pray because we think, does it do any good? One important note is that prayer is not for us. It's primarily for God. It's not for us to get what we want. And in most cases, that's where prayer is generated. And I'll get to that in a little bit, in a few moments. But it's for God. It's for Him to display His glory in our lives, for Him to meet our needs. Prayer is, as I found to be, the main thing is in communion with the living God, to have a quiet time of being able to come before Him, have the privilege of asking Him to be living in our lives, to be an active role in our lives. See, you look at having a friendship, you call up your friend, you invite them for coffee, you go for lunch, you go to an activity together. To be able to have an active role when you're struggling, when you're in pain, when you need help, you call up your friend. And they help you in some way, in some support, in some need, whatever it may be. The privilege. And as we come to God in prayer, it allows God to be constantly aware, to be engaged and involved in our lives. God, who is equally and perfectly aware of us, of what's happening in our lives. Remember, Jesus offers this prayer at the request of the disciples. They ask, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus was always praying. He prayed a couple hours, at least many times, from what we can tell, and in every single morning, the disciples noticed this was a pattern in Jesus' life. So they say, we got to know the secret. We have to find out, how can we have this relationship with God? How can we have the relationship with our Heavenly Father as He does? Something to take note of, which many sermons or many books come and say, teach us how to pray. But if you look at the verse, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say teach us how to pray. It says teach us to pray. Jesus is giving us a model on what to pray. The interesting question is, have you ever asked the Lord to teach you to pray? If you do, He will do that for you. We begin in the verse with the Father. When Jesus called God Father, it must have really startled the disciples. Maybe even they took a step back going, okay, why is He referencing God as Father? The reason for that is that Father was frequently used, it was a title for gods in the ancient Near Eastern religions, which that carried a reference of sexual overtones of fertility. So to all of a sudden reference again God as Father, okay, why is He referencing to Him in such a way? Later, when Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before He was crucified, He calls God Father. And in John 17, around six times, He says that same thing. Jesus was God's Son, right from the very beginning of eternity. And when we're told that we can be called, when we can call Him Father alongside Jesus, we can use the very same words that Jesus used. God himself. It says in John 1:12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And in Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5, it says, "But when the fullness of God sent forth his Son, so that we might receive adoption as sons." You see, what's transpired here is that now we have the privilege of becoming sons and daughters of God. But something to remember is that it's not granted to everyone. It's only to those who place their trust in Jesus Christ. Prayer to God as Father is reserved for believers. They have the right to call God the Father because they are sons and daughters of God. Do you have any idea how big of a deal that is? I want you to stop and take a moment and think about that. The magnitude of calling God Father. We sang it. We prayed it. When we're adopted into God's family, we are loved no less than Jesus himself. Jesus was taking this opportunity to help his disciples to understand, to call God Father, to identify, this is who you are, as well as the relationship they have and who God was. The name of God stands for all he is and does. We all recognize the name Coke. We all recognize the name Nike and Apple and BMW. They all represent companies and their products. The name of God represents himself. In Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is strong, is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." In Isaiah 30:27, "See, the name of the Lord comes from afar with burning anger and dense clouds of smoke." Here, Jesus is teaching his disciples of who they are and who God is. Then we come to "Hallowed be your name." Hallowed means to be considered holy, worthy of respect. I don't know if this is the same for you or not, but in all my years, from age of 17 years old, all the churches that I have gone to, that I belong to, or that I have visited, I have never seen a church desecrated. I've never seen a church tagged. This reminded me, if you look actually at our property, where do they tag? They tag the fence. Where do they charters, but I've been driving the bus for Stampede, and I've reserved, I call it actually the drunk speed. Not the Stampede, but the drunk speed, because I have observed enormous amounts of drunks as I've been driving for the staff at the Stampede. And, of course, some of the staff have come on the bus and are intoxicated, and, of course, they're having fun and they're very jolly. And some of them, in conversation, are saying, "Hey, Stephen, you know, what do you do? Do you do this all the time?" And I share that I'm a pastor. "Oh, no way, you're kidding. No? Oh, what church?" And I tell them whenever, "Hey, I'm going to show up one time." Like, okay. But of course, they begin visiting with their friends. And what happens? They swear. They're like, "Oh, sorry, Stephen. Didn't mean to." Right? So right there, it shows how majestic, in a sense, that God has a presence in this world. That he sustains a sense of holiness that people are convicted. We stare in wonder at the stars. We marvel at the universe. And at times we are in so much awe of the one who holds it at the very palm of his hands. God is the foundation of all that is good. Where do we get the idea that some things are good and some are evil? In a sea of moral confusion and alternate concepts of truth, what holds us steady? Well, I just kind of referenced it. You see the moral desecration that is within our society over a 10-day period. I'm not going to reference it to some of the things that I've seen, but it's been quite disappointing seeing what some of the females have done as they're coming out of the Stampede on the street. But what holds steady? Deuteronomy 32:3-4 says, "I will proclaim the name of the Lord, O 4 was coming, and of course it rolled in faster than I expected. I'm standing on a metal ladder, holding a metal hammer, and literally, like right in our neighborhood, like Aaron and I saw it. It was a lightning bolt that came down, and it cracked instantaneously, meaning you know how close that was. I almost had to change my shorts. I was afraid of that power. And here, he's telling the Israelite people, don't be afraid. What have they just observed? Fear not. The fear of God will be with you to keep us from sinning. To use the word fear here is a sense of respect and awe. Not to be afraid. Not to be scared. The moral foundation of our Canadian society and our laws are based on God. When God is hallowed, society benefits. We are blessed. I was doing a Bible study with some youth, and I was using an illustration, and I handed out some, really old books that I'd gotten from the bookstore, and I said, okay, start ripping pages out. Boom, boom, boom. They're ripping pages out, ripping the books in half, having fun, throwing them around, whatever, anything. Then I handed out a few Bibles to a couple students. I said, okay, here we go again. Everyone ready? Go. Start ripping out pages. Well, the kids with the Bibles didn't rip out any pages. I'm like, what are you doing? Come on, start ripping. No, it's the Bible. So what? It's a book. Rip out the pages. But it didn't matter how much I pushed to get them to rip out pages in the Bible, they wouldn't. Why? Because those very words, they respected, they feared, they had an awe of those very words of truth. They held power. When God's name is hallowed in our lives, we make wise choices. See, right there, those students were hallowing God's name, right? His spirit. That very connection within the relationship that they had. They respected the Bible. We do what is right when his name is hallowed in our lives. We are less anxious. We're awarded our blessing. We're more positive. We have a peace that goes beyond understanding. I would like everyone, if you have your personal Bibles with you, or even in your bulletins, I would love for you to write this reference down. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Highlight it in your Bibles, underline it. Go home and do it later. It says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. When God's name is hallowed in our lives, this verse becomes true in our lives. We pray, hallowed be your name. Because if God's name is hallowed by all people, we have a solid foundation for life. But the answer to prayer begins with us. When we kneel down on our knees, and of course it's not determined on the posture of our lives. We can pray standing up, we can pray kneeling, we can pray sitting, whatever you so desire. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we are committing ourselves to hallow God's name. God doesn't start off by saying, Father, who art in heaven. always running around, right, saying, I'm sure we're going to win. I'm sure we're going to win. We're going to win. But of course, he wouldn't show up to practice. He never listened to the coach. And he was a lot more kind of interested in impressing the girls than he was actually playing the game. Wishing is not doing. And praying is without doing anything merely wishful thinking. You can't not do it and expect results. What can we do to hallow the name of God? It shared that hallowed be your name means help us to really know, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. That quote means to help us to direct our lives, what we think, what we say, what we do. That nothing, that his name would not be blasphemed because of us, but honored and praised. To live this prayer, to truly understand when we say, Father, hallowed be thy name, we worship God as holy. To live holy, God-honoring lives. Worship God as holy. The short little song that we sing at the beginning of the service that Audrey and the choir lead us through is a time of moment of being still and knowing who God is as we come to enter in to his word, come to
gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you at this time for sending your Son to this earth.